Can you turn with me to Proverbs? I think you can turn it a bit further down, Paul. Yeah. Hallelujah. Proverbs. You could spend a lifetime going through the Proverbs and glean so much. You need to spend more time with it. But this one proverb that really deals with the subject this morning, and it's Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7. You know, the seventh verse in from the Proverbs says this: the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Sometimes people don't really understand what this word fear means. We have a different understanding of it. But we want to read what it says in the Word of God and try and explain it from that. It's written, of course, in Hebrew. And it means in Hebrew, Yehah. It has a simple understanding. It's this: reverence for who he is. Reverence for who he is. And this one word has 15 different meanings. A lot of Hebrew words are like that. There's not one straightforward meaning. There's lots of meaning. But the basic rendering is reverence for who he is. And sometimes we need to spend a lot more time on thinking about who God is. As a child, or as children, we grew up to understand what it was to respect my mother and father and other people who are a lot older than myself. This was a way of our culture in those days. It is not that way today. Respect for our elders and to fear God was basic to our understanding as we grew up as children. When our nation was on its knees during the last World War, there was a reverence for God, and when the king called the people to prayer, things changed. But since then, our schools have, to a degree, changed how we look at a belief or a faith in God. We're more inclined to disbelief rather than a faith in the living God. We are educating ourselves out of faith into secularism that was to remove God from his place. And we call this secularism today humanism. And that's what is paramount in our society today. We are our own savior. That's what it basically teaches. But we're fooling ourselves. There's so much need in our nation. Problems have been brought on by our own attitudes, by rejecting anything that has anything to do with the sacred. But God has not given up on us, even if we may have given up upon him. He has answered our need by coming here into this world as our Lord and Savior. Our text state declares, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if we want to solve our problems locally, nationally, and universally, we start by going before God with a sense of awe and reverence and calling upon his name to help us in our hour of need. 44 scriptures that can lead us back on the right pathway comes under the title of the fear of God. There's also hundreds of references under the same word for reverence. When we as Christians lose any reverence for God, we're in danger of disrespecting his holy name. Even the use of the word holy doesn't seem to have the same importance as it once did. We are disrespecting the creator of the universe. We're being taught now, of course, that the universe came into being by a large explosion before time ever began. That's how we came into being. But that's not exactly what the Bible teaches. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, our reading, Proverbs 14, teaches something to you and I about the Lord. Those who fear the Lord are secure. Those who fear the Lord are secure. There's so much insecurity in our world today, in our nation today, in our town today, even within some of our families today. The lives of individuals and as a nation collectively are unsure of our future. We're not sure what's going to happen just around the corner. But the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, who was granted the gift of wisdom, says, those who fear the Lord are secure. It's a positive tense, are, not maybe or perhaps, are secure. And you should be able, as a Christian, to take God at his word. If that's what God says, if I reverence God and fear the Lord, I am secure. I am secure. My future does not depend on me. It doesn't depend on others. It doesn't depend on my government. It doesn't depend on my society or culture. It depends on God himself. It's also a generational gift, if you notice in the word. So it's not only just important that you individually fear God, but in your fearing God, you not only gain security for yourself, but for your children. And that's important to see. He will be a refuge for their children, our children, your children, your grandchildren. It goes on from one generation to next. Your reverence for God, your fear of God today will make all the difference to your children, your grandchildren, and those who follow on after them. You will leave them a blessing that no wealth could ever give them. Notice that text in Isaiah 26, one of my favorite verses. He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on God. That's the King James Version. The modern translation says, he will keep in perfect peace or complete peace whose mind is fixed on you. Fixed. Proverbs 19:23 says, the fear of the Lord leads to life, brings security and protection from harm. And you can get, if you've got a chain reference Bible, you can follow through all the different promises in the Word of God regarding your fearing of the Lord and the benefits of doing so. To have reverence for the Almighty God will bring his blessing, not just upon ourselves, but on our next generation. We can prove that when we look back in the last 70 years since the ending of the last war, how things have changed as we as a nation and as a people have moved away from God. The blessings of God have been withdrawn. We're not in the same blessing. And it, not only is it true of our nation, it can be true of his church. If you read Revelations chapter 2, and it talks about the seven churches in Asia Minor, the last church is mentioned is Laodicea. And this church is mentioned by Paul in two of his letters. And it was a lively, growing church when he wrote about it. But when you read about the same church in Revelation chapter 2, Jesus tells the church that they are lukewarm. They are lukewarm. They say, with this, with that, and says, you're none of those things. You're blind. You can't see. And what's worse, would to God you're either one or the other. It's the worst place to be in as an individual, undecided. Have you met people who can't make a decision? Sometimes it's a simple decision, simple thing they have to make, and they about it, and you want to pull your hair out. Please make a decision. But this church had got to a place where it had grown cold. The Ephesian church had grown cold, hadn't it? But for a different reason. It's lost its love, its first love. We're told to reverence the Almighty will bring a blessing. Notice in verse 27 of our reading, it's life-giving. It's life-giving. Fear of the Lord is a life-giving fountain. A life-giving fountain. Genuine love for God then will connect you to the fountain of life. What a wonderful thought. And that reminds us, I'm sure it reminds you as well, of an incident in the ministry of Jesus. He said that he needed to go through Samaria. Most Jews would avoid that area if they could. If they could find another way, they would. But on this occasion, he needed to go there. And when he got to the well at Sychar, he sat down and he waited. Was he waiting for water? No, he was waiting for a person. The woman of Samaria. And she came at noontime when it was the hottest part of the day. Nobody would come out at that time of the day. Everybody stayed indoors because she wasn't a person that people wanted to bump into. People didn't speak to her. But Jesus came there specifically for her. And he talked about the water of life to her. And he said, well, she thought he was talking about the water that was in the well. I remember we stood there one day and we dropped a stone in the well. And it took, I don't know how long before it got to the bottom. It was quite a deep well. But he asked her for a drink. And she said, well, have you got a bucket? No, he said, but if you asked me, if you understood who it was who was asking you for a drink, you would ask him. But he wasn't talking about physical drink. He was talking about spiritual springing up into life. Spiritual life is to the key of the fear of God. It brings a blessing and a closeness throughout life's journeys. Come what may, you don't walk alone when you fear God. Thirdly, when we talk about the fear of the Lord, one of my favorite scriptures I often repeat to myself, and it's written in the Old Testament, it's written by one of the minor prophets called Micah, and he's really discussing with the children of Israel. You know, it is simple as this. It's not complicated. What God wants from you, it's this, and it's three things. I want you to do what's right. This is found in Micah 6 verse 8. First of all, I want you to do what's right. Secondly, I want you to show mercy, compassion towards your neighbors. And thirdly, walk humbly before your God. The fear of the Lord may be the beginning of wisdom, but it was the intention of Christ to restore us back to God through his sacrifice on the cross. As restored children, then we must humbly walk before him, having reverent fear for him, and give him due honor and praise according to his name. I'm sure sometimes when you come to church, you don't feel up to it. You know, you've had a lousy week, you're just not feeling in the right place, and it really is difficult. And you can be like that throughout the week on a particular day. But God deserves more than that. I love the story of how the Messiah came to be written. Handel went through a real bad period in his life. He was almost totally bankrupt, ready to go into the pauper's jail because he had nothing. He was absolutely destitute. He'd never been as low as he was during these days. And he was really depressed, and he went through a real bad time of depression. And then suddenly something happened. And he went into his office and closed the door. And within 3 weeks, he had written the Messiah. And somebody asked him, how was it that you came to write the Messiah? He said, I had this wonderful sense of the joy of the Lord. And then it just happened, he says. It just came. You know, it's as though God was dictating it to him. And he just sat there and wrote that. Now, you may not like Handel's Messiah, but if you don't like the Hallelujah chorus, then you don't know how to praise God. Doing what is right is what God expects of every Christian. It's just basic, fundamental teaching of Jesus. Do what is right. Whether it pleases or offends, you do what's right. Secondly, you have an attitude of compassion and love to your fellow human beings, and you get rid of a judgmental attitude. You don't allow it to come into your life. Because you remember that he saved you. He says, remember the pit that you was dug from. The squalor that I found you in. This is a modern translation from the Old Testament. Just remember these things. And then he says, walk humbly before God. In other words, fear the Lord. Have reverence for the Lord. And in conclusion, as a child, and I'm going back a few years now, as you can see, going back a few years, I had no problems with the sense of reverence or a sense of divine, because it was instilled in me when I was a child, particularly from my mother. My father wasn't a believer, but my mother was. She came to know the Lord through the Salvation Army because she lost her dad to cancer. And it was through that tragedy that she came to know the Lord. And she was the one that really took us to church for the first time. And so I had no problems with being reverent and being respectful. You didn't back chat. You called the teacher, you didn't call the teacher by his Christian name, you called him sir or madam or miss. Of course, things are different now. All that was lost until Christ found me and restored me to his Father by his death and resurrection and ascension back to God. It's so easy to lose something that's precious. If we have lost the sense of reverence for God, we need to do something about it today. Don't put it off. Don't think, well, I can think about it. Just start to remember who he is. That's the starting place. Remember who he is. He is the giver and sustainer of all life. One word from him and we would be lost. The world could be destroyed at the command of God. We need to love and adore him every day and improve on that love. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's so difficult sometimes when we're in a mixed up society to have clear thoughts and beliefs. It's so different to be different. And yet the word of God calls us out. Jesus says, you're in the world but not of it. Therefore, he expects us to be different from the way the world thinks and acts and believes. And sometimes I remember, Lord, when we worked in Israel, individual believers we used to send little magazines to who lived on kibbutz on their own. They were their only believer in that kibbutz. And sometimes we don't realize how difficult it is for some Christians in the world today. They don't live in a Christian community. They don't have a particular church because they haven't got one. It's because they live in a village or in a town on their own. In fact, if people knew who they were and what they believed, they would be persecuted, even hounded, even murdered. And so, Lord, we want to respect you and to love you and honor you in everything we do and say. We need to do what is right, as Micah says. We need to show compassion, and we need to walk humbly before you. And so, Lord, as we come to the close of this service, we just want to remind ourselves, wherever we are, we're in your presence. I like the idea, Lord, of Jewish men wearing a kippur, because they're always reminded that they're in God's presence. And when they go into their homes, there is the mezuzah on the wall, and it reminds them of the El Shaddai, the Almighty, when they go in and when they come out. And we should remind ourselves, Lord, even as Christians, we're always in your presence. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, God is there. Everywhere present. So, Lord, teach us afresh how to fear God, to walk humbly before you, Lord, to show love and compassion and do what is right. So we just thank you, Lord, for your word. What a blessing it is to us today. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.